sing with me now?
There is a fountain filled with love drawn from Bethel's name, and sinners plunge beneath that love, lose their guilty stain.
Amen.
And sinners plunge beneath that love, lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day.
And everyone, and we have some folks that are not with us tonight. Amen. We trust everyone is all right. Amen. We just want to take advantage of this time. Amen. Spent in the presence of God. Amen. Soon, don't know how long it may be. You know, we want to take advantage and make the most of the times we have to be together. Amen. Because we may not have this opportunity. Our rights, you know, are being taken from us left and right. And it's just, man, we just want to give God the glory. Amen. I hope you'll join with me and sing. Having a little struggle here with my voice, so I need everyone to sing out loud for me and help me out tonight. Amen. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Sing with me.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer sacrifices of thanksgiving we offer to you, the sacrifice.
tongue. Holy, bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you, oh, the sacrifices of
offer our praise to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I was thinking to myself, you know, back in the time of the great psalmist King David, you know, when the ark came into town. My, what a time that was. I can just see David dancing before the Lord with all his might. Oh my, you know, the songs that he wrote, they mean so much to me, you know, and I read them often, and they just bring me into a mode of worship. And I pray that we can enter that tonight, and you can reach out and claim the blessing that God has in store for you tonight. Amen. This is one of those songs that he wrote, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. That's what we want to do tonight. So let's sing it with me. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. Oh, I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, church, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. Oh, I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Once again, yes, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. I'll say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Come on, sing it. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Listen now. We'll fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. And let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, let me walk, bless the Lord, in the way thou hast gone, straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lonely. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, then all the while with the song and smile, fill my way every day with love, and keep me close to
my Savior is God. Darkness grow, oh, keep my path free from wrath, and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, fill my way every day with love. As I walk the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love, and soon the race will be over, and I'll travel no more. For the vines in my home above, won't that be glorious? Bless the King all the way to the shore. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into you. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into you. Oh, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, oh, and they are saved. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Amen. You love Him. Why don't you praise Him some tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like traveling on. Amen. Let's sing that together. I think it's a key of F. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. You want to go with me? Ain't no death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. And my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. With its glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Amen. I feel like traveling on. Church, I feel like traveling on. Oh, my heavenly home, it's bright and fair. I traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on.
One more time now.
Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Let's sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. Well, when we all get to heaven, what a day. Shout the victory. While we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Oh, when we all get to out the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toll's life repay. Sing with me now. We all get to heaven. What a day. Shout the victory. So onward to the prize before us. Soon its beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Hallelujah. We all get to what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory once again. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
I tell you, I can't wait for that day, man, to tread the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hope I'm the loudest one screaming. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to change the order of our service at this time and appreciate everyone singing out. Sounds so nice from up here. I wish you could hear what I hear. Amen. Sometimes I feel like Sister Laura directing the choir. Sounds good, I tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Musicians can play something softly. I'll let you have your seats for just a minute. I don't mean to keep you standing too long. I know sometimes get tired, so don't get used to it. Amen. That's all right. Amen. We want to remember some of these needs were mentioned earlier in this morning service. We want to continue to hold these folks up in prayer. I have a few new ones here. I want to remember the Bilton family. Of course, they were not able to be with us today. I want you to especially remember Sister Amanda Bilton in prayer. Man, she has a special need. I also want to remember Brother Jonathan Mayle in prayer. His wife was here today, but we did not see him. So let's keep him in prayer. Amen. Continue to remember Sister Frida. She's not feeling well, so let's remember her prayer. Want to continue to remember Sister Karen. And she's at home with Brinley, so keep them in your prayers. Remember the Whitlock family. Brother David was having to work today, so I know that's very hard on the family. And you want to be at church, and you have to work. And you have your responsibilities, and it seems like life just pulls you away from God, don't it? Amen. But we'll just keep them in our prayers. Amen. Remember Brother John Cockman's family in prayer. They were not able to be here today. Remember Sister Shirley Buchanan, especially in prayer. She had a special need. Amen. And also Sister Shirley Lingle's mother. I want to remember her. She put in a prayer request for her this morning. So keep her in your prayers. Brother Keith was not able to be with us tonight, so keep him and family in prayer. That's all the needs I have at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Joseph if he would come forward and take these needs. Why don't you stand to your feet, amen, as we take these needs before the Lord. Do you have unspoken prayer requests? Amen. I know we all have special needs. Sometimes we can't say out loud, amen, but I want you to know, friend, God sees that need in your heart. And I believe He can touch it, amen. We don't just raise our hands for no reason. Man, we're reaching out to God, and He can touch you.
I also want you to pray for my mother-in-law, Faye Gregg. She's had a rough week this week, but, you know, our bodies wear down the older you get. It's a fact. This flesh is just gets weak. And just keep her in prayer also. Let us pray. Our precious and dear Heavenly Father, we come to You again tonight, Lord, with the thankfulness and praise of, Lord, of what You're doing inside. Lord, You're touching our hearts, Lord. You're shaping us into what You would have us to be. Lord, it helps us to be cut. And then, Lord, it helps for the save. Lord, to be able to heal that bone that's in Gilead. We're thankful for it, Lord. Lord, the needs that's been brought forth, we pray, Lord, that You just be with these, Lord. Lord, You see the different needs that we are, that we have in this earthly journey. And Lord, we pray that You just make a way, Lord, that You can be glorified. And Lord, the joy can be restored to those, Lord, that are in the valley, Lord, sometimes so low that they're knocking on death's door. But Lord, You're there. And You're with us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the Word, as it comes forth, will touch our hearts. Lord, You know that someone's got an ear to hear, Lord. We don't do this coming to services and going through a ritual. But, Lord, we're coming here and we're worshiping You. And we expect to hear from You, Lord. Is our heart's desire. Lord, we just want to thank You, Lord, for all Your many blessings. And Lord, the Word that we hear, the manifestation can come from us, Lord. The Holy Ghost-filled Christian, that's our heart's desire. We're thankful, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. Amen. You can have your seat once again. Amen. Sister Kristen has a special for us tonight. She'll be making her way forward. And we're going to sing a song together as she's making her way. Sister Becky was playing there. I worship you.
When I look into your holiness, and when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you.
express with all my heart. Offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in
song. Amen. And we appreciate the specials and everyone sang today. It's just so nice to hear those. Amen. And we appreciate talent that God's placed in your life. Amen. And I would just like to say that if you have a song on your heart, just see maybe one of the, if you need a piano player, find one of the piano players and sing with them. And we'd love to hear your song. Amen. And if you have a special, you can put it in with the one of the deacons in the back, and we'll be glad to have you sing, amen, in front of the audience. Let's all stand tonight. I believe hearts and minds are ready for the word, amen. I want to give ample time for that. If our deacons would come forward, we're going to take up our evening offering, and you give us unto the Lord, amen, and just know that your tithes and offerings are used around the world, amen, for the glory of God and to spread His kingdom, amen. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer, sir? As our pastor comes, let's sing this song together. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Just want Him to touch our eyes tonight and anoint them with salve. Amen. That balm of Gilead. Amen. In our lives. Amen. He can touch you and heal you. Whatever you have need of, you just pull on the gift tonight. I believe God has an answer for you. Sing it now with me.
Open our eyes. Out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us
The Lord. We're not going to prolong the service tonight because there's such a nice atmosphere here this evening, and we welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into the house of the Lord again. And I just want to say at the outset that we surely do appreciate the offering that was given this morning, collected on behalf of the family in Africa, and we'll be sending funds over there to them this week, and it'll be a game changer for them for sure. And I appreciate that very much. So we've got that need covered, that's for sure. We have our service Wednesday night, and I just want to remind you of that. That'll be the last Wednesday night service of the year. Now, in your praying, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to remind you to remember Brother Larry in prayer. He was here today. They found another little place of cancer, and he's esophagus, and they were suspecting that. They were looking for that. And he also has to have a cataract operation on Tuesday on the other eye. They say that if that's successful for him, and it's difficult taking the chemotherapy treatments to be able to have to do those surgeries, but they say that if that's successful, he would actually be able to drive again. And so he's looking forward to that. But if you don't mind, I just ask you just to keep that need before the Lord, and we just believe that with God all things are possible, and that's what we're taught to believe. Brother Bram said, don't try to figure it all out and try to understand everything that happens. He said, you just only believe that all things are possible. That's the way he taught it. So we want to do that on behalf of our brother Larry for sure. I don't always mention this, and it's not because I forget, oddly enough, but it's more that the books that I told you to pray about over in Angola, that are held up in customs over there. We finally, just on Friday, finally got an amount that we can send over for the first payment of duties there to the country of Angola. So keep it up if you don't mind. I'll let you know how it comes out. I think it's $2,300 or something that we have to send, and we're going to wire those funds over, and that will help free things up. And we just had to determine that where we were actually sending those funds is a legitimate place that will satisfy the requirement of the government and then allow those books to get out. So it's not because I forgot or didn't that it's been resolved. It's been ongoing until now, and hopefully we'll get the books in the hands of the people there. We just launched the Spanish books that are on in production now, and that's exciting. Two items that are being printed over there, and then the other books are on the boats going into Zambia in Africa, so it's exciting, and we'll certainly keep you posted on all of that. We are honored to have Brother Michael with us, and it's just been a pleasure to be able to spend the last couple of days fellowshipping with him, and we've spent a lot of time together. He and Brother Aaron go way back. They've been good friends for a long time, and I ministered with Brother Michael's dad a long time ago. Man, it's been a long time ago, but it's been wonderful, and it's great to see this next generation coming up and ministering and surrendering their gifts to the Lord. So we're just honored to have him with us tonight, and to have all of you. So let's sing this little chorus this evening, and we're going to turn it right over to Brother Michael. And when he left the men's meeting, I was listening online, and he went back and taught this chorus to his assembly because they didn't know it. And I thought, that's pretty good if we got one up on Cloverdale. Have your way. Let's sing that tonight. We invite Brother Michael to come and take his liberty among us. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Oh, as we wait, and as we
desire tonight? Yes, amen. That's my desire, and we're just, it's a real privilege to be here. I would have never thought I started 2019 and I'd be standing here in December before Brother Barry's congregation. It's just something that is whole real special to be able to stand here and speak to you. We've known Brother Barry all my life, and so here we are. It's just a wonderful thing to be a part of the body. I love the body. You can travel to church to church, and you can it's like you're just family. Yeah. And it's just a special thing. It's a special thing. I was really honored to be able to even to sit and come last night to the little gathering you had. And just to be able to be a family like that. Don't take that for granted. That's special to be able to do that and bind yourselves together in fellowship like that. It's wonderful. So privileged to be able to be here. We'll open our Bibles. We won't take any much more time. And we'll try and punch a little thought home. We're just going to have a little home cooking tonight. And we'll just enjoy the Word, because that's what we're here for, and we'll just fellowship together on it, and hopefully the Lord can speak to you through it. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning, probably the easiest spot to find, right at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1 and 1. All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. Right there at the beginning. Requirement for life was light. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I'm going to have you turn over to the other spot of the beginning, and that's John 1:1, where we'll have the various same few words. St. John chapter 1. Scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here at the beginning, we saw the natural light was needed for life, and here's Here's the one that's needed for spiritual life. Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. Let's just have just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we can read words out of the Scripture, but Lord, it takes you to come behind it, Lord, to speak, Lord, life to our hearts and souls. So we just commit this evening to you in your hands, Lord. Take myself, Lord, as just a humble speaker, Lord, and your people whom you cherish, Lord, and we don't take this, Lord, lightly to stand before them and speak your word to them. May now you come, Lord, we'll just get out of the way as we can, and you would have your way as we've sung already in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. I just want to take a little subject tonight, just on title it, The Children of Light. And light's a pretty important aspect of our lives. It's needful, to state the obvious. But without light, I will give you a couple examples of why I would feel light is important. But light essentially creates food. Any of you guys that are scientists or, you know, enjoy science. But without light, we wouldn't have plants. They take that light source and take that energy and generate food. Anyone know what that's called? Anybody, any of the ones in school? What's that called? There we go, photosynthesis there. That's correct. Without photosynthesis, we wouldn't, food is created, plant energy and creates energy, which allows us to, animals to eat that, which of course then down the, or up the food chain, that helps us get our own energy and essentially gives us life. Without light, that wouldn't happen. It's the, food is synthesized that way. Vitamin D in your body. You need light to get vitamin D. We can't actually create that ourselves without light, and it's needed from an external source, which would be essentially the sun. So, and without vitamin D, what do you need vitamin D for? You need vitamin D for your strong bones. If you didn't have vitamin D, we'd have a struggle. We'd have issues in our skin cells and our bones and such. And actually, people in Edmonton, they struggle to get vitamin D. Studies say this, Brother Ben, because there's just no sunlight in certain months. And therefore, they lack that. And so they have to take supplements because there's just no light. You know, it's important. You know, osteoporosis and certain cancers and depression, muscle weaknesses and certain things, just because there's just straight up limited amounts of light. We need light for color. It'd be pretty boring if we were looking at black and white everywhere. It was a big deal when, you know, color picture came out. But if we don't have that light, the cone cells in our eyes, we can't be able to distinguish the color. Without light, we would be frozen. We'd just be a big chunk of ice because we need temperature. The ball of sun is quite an incredible aspect of what it provides, just these simple things here. Without the light, you'd actually be out in your body rhythms and your sleep. Because the light drives the circadian rhythm in your body, and it is that cycle that helps you wake up, go to bed, and light provides that. They've sent people into deep, dark caves for a long time, tried to sustain themselves without light, and they can only really handle 60, 70 days, and then we're out. We gotta get the light. Because we need it, we crave it, our bodies require light. In fact, they actually have a disorder. It's called SAD. It's called seasonal affective disorder. Without light in the winter, you become sad. It's actually a medical term, believe it or not. And we get those mood swings and such just because of continual darkness. And that's the natural aspect of it. Without light, we just get darkness. We can't handle it as human beings. We actually mentally break down in that realm when we don't have light. And that's the natural side. So, but we're gonna swing her a little bit just to give you an idea. On the spiritual side, what happens when we're limited or we have reduced amounts of light on a spiritual level? Brother Bram says, but you notice, women in our day, they don't seem to have a lady like they once had. They want to, but there's something that won't let them do it. It seems like there's a heaviness. And you tell a lady she shouldn't do such thing, or looks upon that and believes that. She wants to believe it, he says, but there's something that presses her the other way. He says, poor thing, I feel sorry for her. She's so caught in such a web of Hollywood and advertisements and TV and radio and newspaper, the store windows and modern dresses and all these things he talks about. And it seems there's something, he says, that they just can't pull away from. They desire to pull away because they can't. Our young people, our old people, our middle age. He goes on, there seems to be something among men. Men don't seem to have the masculine touch they used to have. Women don't have the feminine touch they used to have. You take man today, don't seem to be burly like they used to. I'm up in Vancouver. I can tell you this is the truth. He was talking about this in 64. Okay, and you can imagine, I just, when Brother Branham talks about these things, I said, what year was that? I mean, surely that wasn't out there. It's here, now. Amen. It's, how you so appreciate that prophetic ministry. It's all some sort of, they want to wear suede shoes with purple, act like women. Now it's true, he says. It seems to be more or less like a perversion. He goes, and you can talk to them, and they're nice people, friendly and sociable. He goes, what caused this? He said, it's that gross darkness. All that because it's that gross darkness. He said, it's something that's pressed into them. This is the spiritual darkness. Brother Branham says, you know, they didn't receive it. He spoke in 1956, and he said the nation rejected the word. He says, oh, well, they rejected it. Then darkness and gross darkness came on the people. And so at that moment of the rejection of the word that was coming forth, gross darkness starting to pour on the people, and that's what's causing this pressing. And we feel it. It's tangible. The darkness of this age is heavy. It's a heavy darkness, and we're living in it. Scripture says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. That's exactly right. Satan doesn't want to be exposed. And that's the key. If Satan is exposed, all his power is gone. Because light now is shone on what he is trying to achieve. And in that exposure, his power is gone. And we'll go into that a little bit more. But that exposure, he loves the light. In fact, Brother Branham says, Satan is scared of light. So Brother Branham said, he said, a devil's afraid of light. That's right. Any creeping evil thing. This is a direct quote. So if you don't like spiders or creeping things, Brother Branham just says, any creeping evil thing is afraid of light. So you can take a wild animal in the jungles of Africa or hunt in there and just flash a light on it, they're gone. Because they're scared of light. And the same thing goes with Satan and the enemy. Is if you can shine the light of the word on him, he's gone. Amen? And that's what we want to go into a little bit tonight. So we live in a time of a thick gloom. We live in it. But our Barry said this morning, he goes, I feel like the darkness is getting heavier. And it is. It's indeed much, much heavier. But Isaiah 60 said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise, amen, upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. I love the but in there, because it gives us something to look to. Amen. In this time and age. Brother Branham spoke, he said roughly just over 50-something times, gross darkness in the message. But over half, actually 28 times, He said that in the message Shalom. And I thought, you know, Lord, in an age of gross darkness and that pressure and that it's coming and the darkness and the evil aspect of it, but he spoke it in a message of peace. Amen? He spoke it in a message of peace. When we're in that time and here's a message coming, he said, don't worry. Don't worry. Yes, there is darkness, but Shalom. Because I've come. I've come to give you light. Amen? With darkness comes fear. Anybody's had children know that they're scared of the dark. With that darkness comes a little bit of fear, right? And that happened right at the beginning. If you look with the darkness, when darkness entered the garden in the very beginning, what did Adam and Eve do? When sin came and God came walking through the garden, he's saying, Adam, where are you? They went and hid. They went and hid because darkness had entered the garden and in that came a fear. And they hid. Fear is quite an intense thing. It can do, when you have a really intense fear, it can paralyze you. Take someone who's scared of heights and take them to the edge of a cliff or even close to the edge, and they'll just freeze. Because they're completely paralyzed by the fear that has now just overcome them. Everything then is now controlled by that fear. Right? Their mind, their body, everything, it's actually been paralyzed by fear. And so can it be on a spiritual side, and Satan gets you so fearful that you're actually paralyzed, you can't do anything because he's got you in such a state of fear on you. Amen? Fear will weaken your immune system. These are natural sides. It can weaken your immune system, cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal damage, problems with ulcers, certain fertility things that can lead to accelerated aging. All fear. That's natural. But that can type spiritual as well. Your immune system is your fighting system. When you're put into fear, Brother Branham says, the greatest thing I find against the church tonight is fear. Because everybody is scared to death about something. What are you scared about? He says, if a man's been born again, he should be happy, carefree, just like these fellows singing up there and a brother testifying back there. They're just free. There's nothing can harm them. Nothing present, nothing future. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But if Satan can get you in a state of fear, he's got you as a slave. Because you're now bound, you're paralyzed, your systems aren't functioning, and he's got you in a state of fear. And with fear, a lot of times it comes fear and doubt. Because now you're doubting what God can do for you because you're in a state of fear. And that comes with the darkness of this age. Brother Brown says the greatest hindrance for the church is fear. He said they're afraid that it just won't work. They're afraid that it just won't work. They're not willing to step out in faith because they're scared that it just won't work. And right there, Satan has you beat. Because you won't even walk out in faith because of fear. Well, what if it just doesn't happen? And Brother Branham says, it's the greatest hindrance to the church. Is that fear, like, I can't take God at His word? And Satan has you. Amen? Brother, who knows the account of John Ryan in the message? Everybody should know that, right? Nobody knows that. Okay. Hands. Anybody know the account of John Ryan? Okay. If you don't, I'm going to tell you. John Ryan was the one who was blind. Okay, he was at the barbershop. And I came, when I was just putting some notes together, I just thought the account of John Ryan talking to Brother Branham in the prayer line was just it just touched me. And he came up, I'll just take maybe just a moment to go through it, because it just goes into this little bit of fear and willing, being able to take God at His word. And he said, he was blind, and this is Brother Branham. He said, is this Reverend Branham? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, heal me. But I said, I can't. He said, well, why can't you? He said, Jesus has already done it. He said, well, I couldn't do what He's done already, but Abraham said. He said, well, will you pray for me? He said, yes, sir, and I prayed. He said, do you believe? But Abraham says, do you believe me? He said, yes, sir. I said, go on, you get your sight. And he said, well, just a minute. And he held me by the coat. He said, just a moment. Now, he said, will I receive my sight? I said, yes, sir, you're going to receive your sight, going to be all right. This is Brother Branham talking. He said, well, he walked off a little piece. He's thinking about that, and he comes back. He says, you know, say you told me I was going to receive my sight. So he's still blind over here. He's like, wait a second. I can't see. So he comes back. You told me I was going to receive my sight. Brother Branham said, that's right. He said, you said I was healed. Brother Branham said, you are. He said, well, you told me I was healed and I can't see. Brother Branham says, that don't have nothing to do with you seeing. He said, I told you. He said, the man, he says, was Catholic by faith. And I said, look, sir, you told me you believed me. You told me you believed me. He said, well, these other people are talking out here, and they're all healed and well. He said, what must I do? I said, do you believe what I told you? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, then, why don't you go and act like it? What he said, you told me you believe me, now go out and act like it. Go take that step. Don't be fearful. I don't know if I can take. No, you said you believed. Now go act like it. Okay? Now go act like it. Okay? Now let's see what happens here. He says, go on off there testifying and saying, praise the Lord, He healed me. He said, all right. And they let him off. And they let him off and he hollered, praise the Lord, Jesus healed me. All right? And he did that. Brother Brown says, the next service, the next night, the old fellow interrupted the meeting four or five times. He was sitting up on the balcony, and he said, everybody quiet a minute. Brother Branham's preaching. Someone standing out in the back, everybody quiet a minute. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Jesus healed me. Four or five times in the service. Brother Branham says that's what happened the next night. And everybody sit down, and Brother Branham just kind of, you know, tell the deacons, don't worry about that. Then he goes and he sells his papers. Extra, extra. Praise the Lord for healing me. So he's not afraid. This is someone that's not afraid now to step out on what God told him. No fear now. Amen? You've got to be willing to take those steps and not have that hindrance of fear and just trust in the Lord and believe. And here it is now in real action. People laughing at him, thinking he's gone all crazy. Thinking he's gone all crazy. He's blind. Can't see a thing. Praise the Lord. The Lord healed me. Willing to walk out in faith and not the fear that what if the Lord doesn't do anything? So he did that and then got in the barber seat. And Brother Branham told him, with the barber, a little smart aleck is what he said. And he was trying to basically just mock him. And there he is with half a shave on his face. And he said, say, Dad, I heard when you went up there to that divine healer not long ago. He said, yep, I went to see him. He said, I heard you got healed. He said, yep, praise the Lord, he healed me. And then what happened? Amen. His eyes came open, and he's running down the street with half a shave on his face, saying, praise the Lord healed me. Amen. I thought that's just exactly right there. Someone willing to take God at his word, and not the fear, what if it doesn't happen? It might not happen right away. It didn't happen right as he walking off the stage, like it did for a bunch of others. You can look at something and say, well, the Lord did that for them. But he's got a different plan for you. You've got to be willing to take him at his word for you, and walk then in faith and trust him. Amen. If Satan can place that cloud of doubt, he's really just disabled you. Right there, right at the gates. And fear will indeed disable you. Because we walk by faith, and unfortunately, fear of the unknown is the fear of all fears. Fear of what's going to happen. And the worry about it. But that right there basically hobbles you, and the Lord can't do anything until you're able to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? But we're not children of darkness. We sing a song back home. Do you sing it? We're no longer a slave by fear. Do you sing that song? Amen. So do we. No longer a slave to fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, is 2 Timothy 1:7. That's not what he gave. A power of love and a sound mind, especially in this day and age, when the mental battles are so prominent, and anxiety and depressions. That's not what God gave us. He gave us didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. For as many that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Scripture says in Romans 8, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. What a contrast. Because adoption, which I'm sure you would know, when a father went through the adoption process, it wasn't that he wasn't a son, but he brought him into a place where then he had the authority. Now, as the father, he had all authority. He could write the checks, etc. And here it is, you have not received the spirit of bondage and fear as someone that's a slave, but you're actually at the top. Spirit of adoption. Amen? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Are you able to turn the lights off of the whole sanctuary? You are? So we're standing. I'm just going to do a little illustration. Might just help a little bit. So we turn all the lights off and let's see how dark it can actually get in here. Okay, that works. That's fine. So if I have a lighter here, and if it was pitch black, and we have a little bit of flame, you know, wherever I walk, the darkness can never extinguish this. Darkness cannot get strong enough to ever extinguish this light. Ever. And so wherever I walk, this pushes back darkness. Everywhere. It's impossible that darkness could ever extinguish the light. Key that you catch that. You can turn the lights back on. Because as a son or daughter of God, if you are light and you're living in darkness, darkness could never extinguish that which is inside you, ever. So we always think darkness can press on us. You need to think about it the other way. The light that's inside you is pressing the darkness back. And there's nothing, it could be as gross and as heavy as it ever could get, but it could never extinguish the light that God has placed inside you, ever. Amen? You can walk just even that little bit. If you walk out the doors tonight, say, actually, I'm light. And you're pressing back the darkness as you walk in this day and age. And there's nothing the devil could do to extinguish that in you. Amen? Remember the lighter. Because the scripture says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. Amen? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's nothing to worry about. Because if you have him who is perfect in you, perfect love casts out all fear. And you can walk never affected or worried about what darkness can ever do. Because you are much more stronger than the darkness. Just the smallest amount of light will push back darkness. Just the tiniest amount. You say, well, I'm the weakest of Christians. But with his light inside of you, it wouldn't really matter. There's nothing that can conquer you. Amen. To him that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, as we said, light is required for life. And you can't hide it. You can't hide life. You know the pond lily that is deep in the muck and the mire. And I'm amazed that it really doesn't matter how, all it needed was just a little bit of light to start something growing. Just something. Right? The pond lily is in the blackest, it's in the muck, it's in the mire, it's deep in the pond. But those rays have to work through the water, etc., to get down there. But it doesn't really matter. If light can just reach it, life will start to grow. Amen? But our Bam says, we know in the beginning it must have been foggy and dismal and dark as the world turning. He's talking naturally, and God knew that it needed light. And his seed was already in the earth. Brother Bram says, already in the earth, because he planted it there, and he needed light to bring forth that seed to make the seed live. Amen? Because the seed was already there. The seed was already there. God knew exactly what he placed in each age. It's already there, and it just required light to start to shine in whichever age. And different ones started to come up, whether it was Luther's age, Wesley's age, and here we are in this age, and the light is starting to shine forth. The seed is there, and all it needed is the word to come forth, and it starts to grow. Amen? He knows exactly what he needs, because when light strikes the seed, Brother Branham says that so many times when he speaks about the woman at the well, when light struck the seed, something happened. Amen? And then it takes the word. It is power, true word, with the light of the word to come through. And that's the importance that I am so thankful for a message of this hour. Because it takes the light, the true word to come, because that is what will ignite the seed. If there's no life in there, it wouldn't really matter how much light there is. But if there is a seed in there, even just a small amount of light getting through that pond will start that life to grow of that little pond lily. Wouldn't really matter, but if there's life there, it'll start. Amen? I can imagine it was a dark, dark day at the cross when Jesus was crucified, and how dark it must have been. But what a wonderful time was when he rose. Amen. And the gloom, Brother Bram says, notice the gloom covered the earth, and the seeds could not live without the S-U-N to rise. And gloom covered the earth. But he said, now the S-O-N was risen, and all the gloom was vanished by his light as it spread across nations to people that he said, oh, he's not here, but he is risen. What a statement. He's not here, but he is risen. Can you imagine what they were all going through? We think about the time, but what were the disciples and the different ones going through? He's not here, he's risen. What an incredible time Easter was for the believers back then. But true, he had now conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now the light from the sun was shining and seeds started to sprout. Amen. Seeds started to sprout right there at the beginning of the age there. Brother Bram says, and then, not only that, he sent his word to his disciples, saying, fear not, for I am he that was dead and alive forevermore. And I have keys to death and hell, and I have conquered. He said, don't fear anymore, for I have every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when the light spreads across the earth. Isn't that glorious? I love predestination. What a comfort to know God put something there. He knew it long, long, long before. And he's just waiting for the right time. He knew exactly at this day that you were going to be here. And you're going to be here, Lucas. And it just took his light and his light to shine. And that seed started to sprout forth. It's beautiful. I love it. Shows the importance of the seed of God. Without that seed, it just wouldn't really matter. Again, how much light shines, life can't come. But a child of God, no matter how little, light will shine. Amen? There's just not enough power in hell to defeat the purpose of God that he has in you. Because life's going to grow whether you like it or not. The little lily is going to pull up through that muck and the mire no matter what happens. It's going to do whatever it takes. You see it in concrete, the grass coming through concrete. It wouldn't really matter how much is on top. That little blade of grass just working its way because it's craving the light. It's craving to get out and reach out. And that's exactly what a son or daughter of God is. It's craving to reach out to that light of God. Amen. That he's seeking for his soul. Amen. But Abraham says, the one that's in you is light. And that's the one. And the one that's in the world is darkness. And so the light has come to overcome. Has proved to overcome the darkness. Amen. And so when that comes into you and you become born again believer, you become a separated and a peculiar to the world. Scripture says, and darkness comprehended it not. Darkness can't understand light. It just can't understand light. It can't comprehend it not. So you become, Brother Bram says, you become a mystic. Right? Comprehend it. Because it can't grasp the complete nature, the significance. It cannot contain or hold within a total scope or significance or an amount. It can't assimilate or catch or conceive. The devil, he just can't figure you out. He can't understand. He can't know. People can't. What makes them so different? Why do they act such this way? They don't comprehend the light inside you. Satan, he's been in the dark all along. And Christ the light came to the earth. Amen? And he's wondered. But Abraham illustrates it. But Satan there looking at Christ on the cross and Satan wondering, is this really the Son of God? Is this really? And if you've read, but Abraham illustrates that. Wondering, could this really be? And he's looking at, really, the Son of God? They just can't go. Why are they acting this way? Because he can't comprehend the light inside you. And anyone that takes God at his word will not be comprehended by darkness. You'll live a peculiar life. You'll live a different life. We live a separated life. But Abraham says, God doesn't want any mixers. He said, God doesn't want mixers. We're a separated people. And if you're mixing, if somehow darkness is comprehending you, you've got to check your walk. Darkness should not comprehend your walk. You're a light. You should be complete opposites. I love this quote. You are actually, when Scripture says in gross darkness the people, you are actually causing the darkness to condense. You as a bride, you as children of light, are actually causing light to condense. Brother Branham says, the darkness is separating itself from light. God's causing it. The light's doing it. See, the light's pressing itself in such a way until the darkness has to congregate together. You are the children of light. And you are actually causing the darkness to press together. Because God's people is coming to their position at this day, and the light is shining forth from you as the bride of Christ, and you're actually causing the darkness to press and congregate to itself. Amen. It's not you being pressed back by darkness or more darkness. It's actually you coming to, hey, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm a son and daughter of God. And you coming to your recognition of who you are, you're pressing that darkness back, and it's congregating and concentrating itself in this age as you come to position, because it's light that's actually pushing back that darkness. Amen. You can walk a little different when now you say, oh, okay, that's who I am. That's what I take God at his word. And you start pushing that darkness back in your life. That problem that you have, wait a second, I'm taking him at his word. I shouldn't fear this. And here you start pushing and concentrating that darkness and condensing itself. Amen. Because you're children of light. 1 Thessalonians says, but ye brethren, you're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Ephesians 5 says, We were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. That puts it now back onto our side. Ball back in your court. If you're children of light, now you must walk like that. Okay? So a light illuminates something that needs to be seen. That's what light can do. It can draw attention to something, light it up, as you're focusing on it. And God now, if you are light, he's lit you up. You're lit up now, shining forth. But Abraham talks about you being a billboard. You're now a billboard of God's grace in your life. Amen? And Brother Bram says, now the only way that the world will ever see Christ is when they see it in you and me. Amen? Now the only way they'll ever see Christ, their conscience are numb to the sunsets, to the call of the birds, to the leaves, the grass, the flowers, music, and the message, so forth, that we enjoy after we found Christ. Until we get to a place that we can display Christ. They can't see all that, but they see you. They say you, because the only way they're ever going to see Christ is when they see it in you. They're numb to all these other things that we enjoy, but they can see Christ living through you. How important it is that we must walk that way to display Christ before people. And we've got to live a life that people want. You know, if we were living a life, a little ho-hum, miserable me, I don't know how someone's going to want that. You know, well, yeah, it's great to be a Christian. Who wants that? Nobody will want that. Brother Branham, he talked about living a life, oh, that we live a life that shows the attractiveness of salvation. He said, Lord, help me to live my life so that people are attracted to salvation. And just change your perspective so that people are looking at you. If I'm a billboard for Christ, it sure better be a good billboard. Right? So I can show, this is worth living for. And Christ is worth living for. And if we can't do that, well, we're just no victory, barely trudging along. No, you're children of light. Live that way so it attracts people, so they're hungry for Christ through your life. But Abraham says, how can you appeal to a hungry world that won't even see where they come from, who they are, and where they're going unless you live a sermon of Christ alive? Amen. Of Christ alive. But he says, or is your billboard so smutted up with the things of the world? They live like the world, talk like the world, sing the same songs that the world does, dress like the world, they act like the world, they go to worldly places, and they attend the worldly entertainments. Is your billboard emitting light? Is our billboard emitting light? Is it attracting people to salvation? Is it creating a hunger? And I'd say yes. Yes, Lord, that's the case. This is not to bring us down to say, no, I am a children of light. And Lord, if I'm not, I want to attract those. I want to show people that salvation is worth living for. You know, what happens when they put up a billboard, someone sponsors that. Someone sponsors a billboard, right? You have these large billboards out there. Brother Ram talked about it. He saw a billboard that said, hungry, ? He speaks about this. And it caught his eye. You know, hungry? ? He thought that was a good billboard, and then down below it just said 3 miles ahead. There's food 3 miles ahead. And so that's where this thought for him was coming from. But a billboard, you have to be sponsored. You know, they sponsor, they put money up behind this. And the sponsorship is the act of supporting a person financially or through the provision of products or services. And so the individual that provides the support, it's known as the sponsor. Okay, so, you know, sponsors, they put big money out for big names because they want... That person there is going to drive and attract attention. It's going to drive and attract business. And so they're willing to put some big money behind this, behind something. And if we look at it more in the, you know, the sports realm or something, that they put sponsors, you know, they put $47 million, soccer player, you got for just to wear certain garments. Stephen Curry, his sponsorship was $42 million last year or so. He's a basketball player. That's what he got just for sponsors. Just so that you don't wear Nike, and we're going to give you money. I think it was LeBron James, your basketball star down here. He was actually given almost over, it's up to over $1 billion for a lifetime contract till he's 64 to wear Nike. That's some big money thrown at him. Just wear our brand. We're going to sponsor you because you are the most amazing basketball star ever, and you're worth up to $1 billion for a lifetime contract just to wear Nike. I thought, you know, you've been sponsored. You've been sponsored. Because God knows what's inside you. And He's willing to put everything. He was willing to die. And He's willing now to just give you everything because He knows what's inside you. And He's willing to make the biggest sponsorship deal of all time. $1 billion is nothing. He did everything. He's willing to give you peace, joy, gentleness, faith. He's our strength. He's giving you new life because He's willing. I know they're the best. They're going to present. They're going to be a beacon. They're going to be a billboard. They're going to make salvation attractive. I'm going to put everything into them. Amen. He just sponsored. But our man said He sponsored you. Oh, what kind of person we should be if we are His billboards and we're sponsored by Him, he says. Then in Christ is the one where we get our life. We get our strength. We get all that we have comes from Christ because He's our sponsor. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Amen. You're more valuable than LeBron James, Cristiano Ronaldo, and all these soccer and superstars. You've been sponsored by the King of Kings. Amen. The biggest sponsorship deal of all time is you. Amen. Amen. But Abraham says, though we must then, oh, be careful on what we do. Be careful on what we say. What we do in our daily life because we're sponsored by Christ. You know, if these guys do something wrong, especially in these days, people are getting cut pretty fast. People don't want nothing to do with them. Deals are ended. They're out. They did something. Something dredged up from their past. you're gone. Your past is history. It's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. There ain't nothing you can do. You're a child of God. You're sponsored. It don't matter. Your past is gone. Amen. Under the blood. Amen. But here we must still walk. But Abraham says, and just be careful on what we do in our daily life. How we ought to walk. Someone says something evil against us. What do we say if we're sponsored by Christ? We must be like Christ, he says. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. A Holy Ghost life, filled life, is salty, as Matthew says. Amen. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted. Amen. Salt, it improves flavor, but it also makes someone terribly thirsty. Right? So a salty life is going to make somebody terribly thirsty for what you have. Amen. That scripture, the next scripture, that is, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We sing it as a little children's song. Hide it under a bushel? No. No, absolutely not. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Amen. Don't be bashful to be a billboard for Christ. Don't be bashful to let your light shine. Don't hide it. Be in confidence. Again, the biggest sponsorship deal is Christ behind you, saying, I have full confidence in you. Full confidence in you. Stephen, in the scripture, Abraham talks to him as a light, full of the Holy Ghost. He said he was shining as a billboard of what God had done. And he stood there before the whole council, and he was preaching them a sermon. And he goes down from history. I think here's Stephen speaking to the council, and he goes through all the history. You think the Pharisees didn't know all that? They were learned in the scripture. And he's just nailing them down, and he comes back down to the end. And just, if we go, I'll actually go to it because I always love to read. He just comes right to a stinging point. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That's what he says. In heart and ears, and do you always resist the Holy Ghost, as do your fathers did, so do ye. He was being a billboard. He was being a billboard before all men. You know? And then what happened is, he was stoned. You can say, well, what good did that do? Here he did, trying to live his life, and you know what then? But Brother Branham said there was one standing there on the side, with garments at his feet. And it took years to happen. But it affected him so much. And here we have Paul that comes out, who is the church age messenger to the first age. And how many thousands of people have now been affected by life. But because Stephen wasn't hesitant to stand strong and start and preach all alone. All alone. Willing to be a billboard for Christ. And here Paul affected by that. So don't ever wonder, well, who is my life affecting? You don't know. That's not really for you to know anyway. God didn't ask that. Well, you know, if I'll tell you. No, he's not telling you. He just said, be a light. Walk as children of light. Amen? That's all we must do. Walk out of these aisles of church saying, you know what? I'm light. There's no, darkness can't even press against me. I press the darkness back. You press it back. What time did I start, Brother Barry? I had asked Brother Barry. I said, Brother Barry, surely you got a part two. I'd love to hear part two. He said, no, I got part three. So when he preaches next, I asked him, is this part three? Because if you had a part two, you should have been preaching tonight, because I sure would have loved that. But Abraham says, not only did he say, I am the light, speaking of Jesus, he said, but ye are the light. If his word is in you, bearing record of itself, then you are the light of the world. Notice we find out light of each age made manifest just the same. You be the peace giver. You are love. You are joy. You are hope. That's coming from you. Because you are light amongst your body. Amen. Somebody's needing, there's the body around you. You be the encourager. You emit light to each one around you. Because that's who you are. You are emissaries of light. Amen? You say, well, Brother Brown says, you may never see a vision. You may never put your hands on a sick person. Feel the charge of Almighty God. Make a skeleton of a man turn back to life again. You may never see him standing yonder in three or four rainbows. You may never see his image. You may never hear his voice. But still, you can be a signboard that will reflect Christ. You don't have to be one of those that is, as different ministries have, and seeing a skeleton of a man turn back to life, or raising someone from the dead, or seeing three or four rainbows. No. Brother Abraham says, but you still can be a signboard to reflect Christ. Say, I'm just nothing. You're God's light to this day. He knew which seed was in the ground long before the foundation of the world. And he says, I need you here at this time. And so when my light comes and that message shines forth, I'm going to raise up these seeds up because I need you for now. Don't ever think you're insignificant. Because God put you here for a purpose. For this time. You say, I'm just nothing. The simple and uneducated were whom God chose. Unlearned, Peter couldn't even sign his name. But he went forth with mighty power. It doesn't really matter your abilities or who you are, what you are. As when God is in you, he uses you. And his light emits from you. Amen? No peril, no death, and nothing can separate you from him, because you are light as he is light. Amen. I'm not going to go into this next part. We're going to just close it down. But Barry said I'd be a star if I closed in 45 minutes. So, so musicians can come, because then we'll make sure we don't go over that. Brother Branham says, and God has made promises for every age, every day. And when the light gets right, it shines upon that. It'll produce exactly what the Word said, because he is the light and the life. Amen. It'll produce what? It'll produce a rapture-ready people for this time. Amen? And that's the confidence we have. That's why I cherish the message that we have. Because it's going to produce a rapture-ready people for this time. Amen? God's Word comes only by the Bible. Printed form of the Son of God, he says. And it takes the light of God to shine on that Word to vindicate it. To prove that God still speaks life. Eternal life, and he speaks natural light, brings life. Life only comes by light, and the Word made manifest or made flesh. When all promises become in the Bible made manifest is when Jesus Christ the Word was made flesh among us. God works through man. Man is God's subject. God works through you. You are God's subject. You are children of light in a dark, dismal age. Press it back. You are the reason it's dark. You are the reason it's gross darkness, because you're pressing it back in this age when the sons and daughters of God start to rise up and say, I'm a child of light, and walk as children of light. Amen. God bless you. Just a little evening, a little service, packed up in a little nugget. It's good to spend some time with you. I pray the Lord just blesses everything here at the church here in Hickory and all that you're doing. I know with the vision books and the efforts that I've grown up under Brother Ed's ministry, and that's been his burden as well, is get the message to the people in every way possible. And the Lord honors that. And so I'm so thrilled and just excited to hear what the Lord is doing with the books project and books in Angola and all of the different burdens and needs is great. So don't falter. Get right behind it. Because it's the only, that's what we need, because we're looking for the last soul. That's really what it is. And they need the same message that you have, what you're enjoying. I told the people back home one time, I said, you know, at some point, we're actually going to be standing here and there's only one person left to save on the whole world. And we'll be going to church and having services, but only one left there somewhere. And so we're just going through, we're pressing. At some point, we're going to be there. Right? At some point, we're going to be there. And so unless we do what we can to find that person We want to make it as short a time as possible that we have to find that one, isn't it? Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead of you, and pray for us back home. We're doing some different projects with Brother Barry and Sister Becky, and we just need the Lord to give us some leadership as we press forward. Amen. God bless you.
Get the light to his people. He absolutely does. And children of God, they walk by that light that God provides for us. And I'm grateful for that light. I think about where I would be if it wasn't for that light that God put in our pathway. I think about, my goodness, where would life have taken me had we not had the light that God gave to us in this last day? Let's sing that little chorus. I have a maker, and he knows my name. I have a maker. He knows my name. And before even time began, my life was in his hand. Tear that falls.
Jesus someday.